Welcome to Property Talk from Louise's Lounge. My name's Louise Heatley and I'm owner and managing director of Exclusive Links Real Estate. With over 16 years in the industry, I know a few things and I know a few people. And through our podcast series, it's an opportunity for us to give you some insights into the Dubai real estate market, also discuss some interesting topics, have some guest attendees, and it's an opportunity for you to meet some of the team. On the 8th of March, we celebrated International Women's Day, and we have two amazing successful women on today's episode. We have Zara Abdullah and Trisha Evans. Zara is half Iranian, half Sudanese, and she considers herself to be a modern-day Bedouin. She's a cookbook author, an entrepreneur, and a social media influencer, and she's called Dubai her home for the past 17 years. On her culinary journey and her international travels, Zara's met some very amazing, inspiring women who address important social issues, including food wastage, hunger, the environment, mindfulness, and women empowerment. She's an avid food entrepreneur and she's very excited to launch her frozen food range, Zara's Kitchen, which will be out next month in Spinneys. She's married and she has three young boys. Trisha is born and raised in Liverpool in the UK and she's been in Dubai for some 28 years. Trisha was the first business coach in Dubai and she's enabled over 7,000 people at senior management level to be successful on purpose. Amongst her many achievements, she's also a board member of the Dubai charity Gulf for Good. And over 11 years, she has completed 10 adventure challenges with her next challenge due to the Arctic next month. Trisha is a respected contributor to the international business women's community, and she loves that can-do, nothing's impossible mentality of the UAE, which is her home, which she now lives in Ras Al Khaimah. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today. I really appreciate you both being here. And Zara, you were originally born in London in the UK, and you've lived in lots of different cities around the world. So tell us a little bit about what you did before you got to Dubai and what brought you to Dubai.
So we traveled a lot, and my dad started his career as a banker and was working in Saudi, and then went to set up a business in Sudan, and then we finally found our way to Canada. Life happens, and that's where we ended up settling. So I lived in Sudan for about 14 years, but before that, lived in Saudi, lived in Greece, lived in the UK, lived in the US. So I've been very lucky to call many cities around the world home. Mm-hmm. And Dubai.
It's a nice variety as well, isn't it? I mean, from all different types of culture and different parts of the globe. Good opportunities.
It's a mixture of experiences, some easy, some difficult, but all personality building. I think I am who I am today because of all those experiences, and so it's a lot to be grateful for.
So how did you end up in Dubai? You came from Canada and you moved to Dubai?
I missed living in the Middle East, and I needed to live in a city where it was that nice balance of East and West. I don't think I could be in a very Eastern country, and I don't think I could be in a very Western country.
Ticks all the boxes for you.
Yeah. And this is the only place that I can say really feels like home, and is the only place where I say I really feel like I belong. So I'm very happy.
So you're settled, you're staying here for a long time. Trisha, 28 years. I thought I was long. I think I've done 26, 27. But 28 years in Dubai, so you must have had a lot of highlights, personally, professionally. So tell us about some of those.
Well, Dubai's been great. It's been a privilege being here, really. I came to join my partner at the time, married, had a child. So husband didn't last, but Dubai definitely did.
So that was a good thing in some ways.
But it's just been great. I love the can-do mentality of this. A bit like you said, I love the balance of East and West. I particularly like the multicultural side of it as well. And that's fantastic. And it's just been a great place to raise a child. Mm. So I've got a daughter who's 24 now.
And we were just talking about her. So what does she do?
She's a professional skydiver.
And what did you tell us?
Yes.
You're going
I will definitely do a jump at some stage with it.
But we've got that on camera now. So Trisha has to do the jump out of the plane.
She's intention well, out into the universe.
Yes. Well, she's done about 800 jumps so far. She's 24.
But I don't know if I would be more scared with somebody I know.
Well, it'd make a hell of a profile photo for social media, wouldn't it? Mum and daughter, you know, jumping out of the
plane.
That'd
be amazing. You have to do that.
Yeah, but that's great. And I think raising her here, you know, there's so many opportunities. She's a classic third culture kid, you know, raised outside the home culture of either of the parents. So that's really cool. Mm. I'm a business coach, and I was the first coach in the Middle East, actually. And that's been fantastic. So in any one week, I'll be dealing with, I don't know, 20 different nationalities. And it's just a privilege. I go home and it's really weird. It sort of feels too samey, you know, a sort of group thing. But I love the international scale of it. So Dubai's been great. Yeah. And the whole thing that nothing's impossible.
The business coach, you said you were the first business coach.
Yeah.
And there's this preconception that women may not do as well. Mm-hmm. In the country, which I know we're squashing all of the time, but to be the first business coach and a woman, was there challenges?
Well, actually, not really. It was more of a challenge being a coach at the time, because this is 1993. Coaching was new, is in its infancy in Europe and the States, and it was unheard of here. And so if I'd talk to somebody and talk about coaching, you could see them sort of shy away and think, there's nothing wrong with me, I don't need a coach.
Yeah,
and I thought, wow, they're thinking it's remedial. Mm. You know, and actually, coaching's a fast-track tool. Coaching's fantastic. So I started to shift the way I talked about it. So it was more being a coach than being a woman. Interestingly, I always thought being a woman would be an issue here. It never has been.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, I would
Not
say
once.
The same.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Never had issues?
I find that... It's more advantageous to be a woman here.
So do I. Yeah.
I know. I think one of my staff said, I still love those ladies' bank queues.
Yeah.
I'm in and out in 5 minutes, and the queues are out the door. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, when my husband wants stuff done, he's like, hey, you want to help out? Because he knows everything will be much more. Faster in execution.
And you stand out. If it's a room full of guys and it's one or two women, you stand out. It's like the minority in any situation stands out, you know. But I think I've always used it. It's why I wear bright colours as well. It's a bit of a statement thing.
Absolutely. Power.
Yeah. It's just, but it's sort of notice, you know. Yeah. So you'll always remember, oh, I remember that woman, whatever.
Yeah.
And you always feel like you're part of a community.
Totally.
I mean, people are always helpful here. You hear about the British expat groups, if someone's traveling back home, there's always going to be a volunteer who's going to help, you know, with the whole journey. If someone sees a child, you know, flustered, someone will always come in and help the mom because they know she's baby busy with a pram. People are helpful, and these are the little details that I love about the city. I mean, I remember one time traveling back to Canada, and I was with three little toddlers, and I needed someone to help me. Because I had a little baby on a baby carrier. I just need someone to help me put a suitcase up. And there were no volunteers. Whereas here, I would never even need to ask. People would just volunteer.
Yeah, you know they're just going to come to your aid. And in another country, you'd be looking around going, help, help.
Yeah. And I love that about
No, me too. We've actually discussed that on a lot of episodes. And everybody who's come on is very of the same opinion. We're all there to support each other. Like you... Ladies are coming on my podcast today. But when we talk about achieving things in life, everybody would love to be successful. But Zara, how did you take your creative passion, which is obviously food, how did you take what you were passionate about and actually turn it into a business?
I stumbled into this business by mistake.
She doesn't mind saying.
You know that after my third child, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so I went down to a very deep little rabbit hole, which I was in denial of. Mm. And I had the support of the female friend, my female friends were the ones who kind of pulled me out.
Your sisters.
Actually, it was someone that should not have been a friend.
Who's that? Do I know?
She's a friend that... life circumstances should not have made us want to be very close with each other, but our bond of you know, that maternal instinct, that feminine instinct, that need to help each other, that energy to be kind towards each other was so much stronger than all of the baggage that should have or could have been carried through. And she is actually my biggest cheerleader. She's a friend that helped me how to dream, define my dreams. I think a lot of people want to achieve things and they all know what they don't want, but they don't know what they want. So when you actually take a moment, and she guided me on how to take that moment, sit down and reflect of what I wanted. Because once I decided what I wanted, executing it was easy, but knowing what I wanted was very hard. So I was very blessed to have a friend who guided me achieve my potential in my career, but also like little minor goals, like completing a 10K run, which I never would have in a million years thought I could do.
And did I did.
I did.
Well done.
She ran with me.
I think anyone that runs is mad. Well done.
I ran 10K, she ran 15K, because she was so bored running at my pace that she'd go an extra kilometer and jump back.
She's your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
And it's lovely, I think, women supporting women.
Yeah.
I saw a quote, I think, on Facebook where it says, women supporting women are a different breed.
Yeah.
You know, when they've got each other's backs and they cheer people on, and it helps you achieve.
And just to add to that, I grew up when I was working in the corporate world, hearing a lot of women saying, oh, just be careful about having a female boss, be careful about having a female colleague. There was this assumed implication that they're going to be backstabbing, catty. But I've actually found woman energy amazing.
Yeah.
I've never felt that. I've always felt the positive.
And you've kept the right people around you, I think, isn't it?
And perspective. If you want to see someone as that, you will get that. But if you want to see someone as good and positive, that they will be that. They will live up to your expectations.
So her assistance, her support, her cheerleading made you realize you love cooking, you love food, and how did you take that initial idea and create or at least start the business now?
She reminded me to dream because I forgot how to dream.
Important.
Yeah. And I dreamt different dreams before I actually, my sister and my husband are actually the ones who said, you know what, you love food, just
home in on one thing.
Yeah, build on it, go on it. And people get attracted to positive energy. And so when I was doing something, I was flowing. When I was in movement, it brought in, look at yourself, like with your podcasts, you were in flow, you were in movement.
Yeah.
And you went from inviting to people asking to be part of your, because they want to be part of that energy.
Yeah, and it all just comes and connects together then. Yeah, and what about you, Tricia? I mean, you're business coaching in Dubai. You did that in the UK, or was it something you were particularly passionate about and went, I want to get out and help people?
I was trained in UK as a coach, and it was one of the few things that really blew my mind. And a bit like Zara was just saying, with this sort of mentor, this friend who sort of helped you think about your dreams. I mean, my tagline is be successful on purpose. Like, don't guess. Don't guess. Don't do the same old stuff if it's not working. Stop, think, focus. And a bit like you said, get clear where you're starting from. What is the dream? And then once they're clear, it's quite straightforward to get there. And that's exactly what I do as a coach. And I do it with individuals and I do it with teams. And when I was trained up as a coach in UK, it blew my mind that actually it's not about teaching stuff. It's about creating a space to help people feel safe and to think and to dream. And I think I really do help people realise dreams, and I'm told that a lot. It's really important.
Yeah.
And I've loved that. That was a really, really inspirational moment for me when I realised, wow, this is my thing. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, when your world is bigger than your own because you are really contributing to other people's lives and successing, hugely gratifying for you.
Yeah.
I always remember thinking, when I set up Exclusive Links, what it would be like now sitting on couches doing podcasts, I would have probably ran a mile. But I was passionate about property, passionate about people.
Yeah.
And you just take one step at a time. You know the end goal. Don't worry about how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Just know what it is.
Yeah.
And one step at a time.
Yeah.
I do like the idea before, that, like the power of the sisterhood, you were talking, because I've got four brothers. And I was raised as a boy, you know, and I literally was.
We you were really had totally, to step up as the
really
woman.
Raised, yeah, moment. Totally equally, which was a credit to my mum and dad in the 60s and 70s. You know, it was really, really cool. So I was 21, I swear, before I even realised men and women were treated differently in this world. Mm. Now, that's a fairly staggering achievement from my parents. Yeah. And it blew my mind when I realised. I thought, well, how ridiculous.
Yeah.
I still think, how ridiculous that we're not all equal. You know, it shouldn't matter what sex you are, what colour you are, what age you are, what anything, you know, it's just ridiculous to think about it.
And you've maintained that attitude no matter what obstacles have come at you to try and knock you off that. Yeah.
But women can be great, because I came quite late to the power of the sisterhood, and it was probably when one of my first brothers got married, and I suddenly had the sister I'd never had.
Yeah.
And then since then, and the first thing I do when I move or travel, I join a group, a network. I'm part of one called Female Fusion in Dubai at the moment, which is great. There's another one, the RAC Business Group in RAC, which is great. I've always been part of international business women's groups, and women talking with each other talk about different stuff. It's not better, not worse, it's different.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's a different platform, it's a different space. Yeah. And we need everybody involved,
yeah.
But it's a really safe space. I think I love this power of the sisterhood thing. Yeah. So it's great.
Thank you. Mm. And Zahra, we talk about successful people, both incredibly successful. Tell us about the imposter syndrome. Oh. How does that, if it at all, does it impact you, and how do you overcome it?
It's a real thing.
It is, yeah. I'm vouching for it as well.
And you know, I've had chats with a lot of women from different walks of life, in different careers. I mean, I was chatting with Anusha Ansari, who's the first female civilian who went to space, went to the moon.
Wow.
I was chatting with a friend of mine who is runs hospitals, like builds hospitals and runs them, and it's a very male-dominated space. She's been in it for so long, so you think she's got this. So I thought, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm a cook. Why do they think I'm something special? And I realized that I've been going through a very interesting journey in the last 6 months of self-awareness and understanding where a lot of insecurity is rooted from. There's this idea that I have accepted certain agreements, and they might be imposed on me or they've been created, but they're negative agreements that I live by. And I'm trying to change that culture of definitions that define me. I'm malleable and I can transcend, I can evolve. And when it comes to imposter syndrome, it comes down to this agreement that I need to work really hard to prove myself. And that moment when you don't, because you've established yourself, you worry, hold on, they're accepting me without needing to put that same effort that I had to do before.
Mm.
And then I realized it's an expectation game. What if they meet the real me? Because they see me behind the screen. And what if they meet the real me and they're like, she's not as amazing as she comes across, or she's not that nice. She seems really nice, but you know, I can have a bad day and I can be a bit, you know, impatient or whatever. That's me on that day, but that doesn't mean the core of me is not the same.
Mm.
So I think when I've accepted, I don't need to worry about meeting other people's expectations.
Mm.
And the moment I set my own expectations, and as long as I'm accountable to myself, that's when I can quell that feeling of an imposter syndrome. And it's been hard work for the last 6 months, and I just got that light bulb aha moment.
Just clicked with you, and you went, right, this
but
is
it's
it.
A real thing.
Yeah. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever get that? I mean, I have times as well where there is insecurity on decisions made, and I always say, just follow the gut.
Yeah.
You know, block everything else out, just go with what you feel is best to do. But do you ever get a little bit rocked, or
four brothers,
maybe not?
Well, maybe not, you'd grow up tough. But no, I mean, everybody has it to a certain extent, and it's great that's a real journey of self-awareness, and that's being a coach, that's something I'm doing with people all the time. It's the voices in our head, and we've all got them.
It's our biggest friend and our worst enemy.
Totally,
is this.
Totally. Yeah. And it makes me realise, I mean, it's usually our parents that put them there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for better or for worse. And so it really makes you think about, if you have a child, what voices are we putting in their heads?
Yeah.
you know, sort of, you know, so it's really quite interesting. You, yeah. But it's all about self-awareness. Once you start to recognize those voices coming, yeah. I'm not good enough, smart enough, clever enough, whatever, you can, there are ways you can actually start to counteract and
combat them,
bash them out. Yeah. Yeah.
Deal with them, combat them.
Deal with them, yeah, but they're always there for people.
And I believe success is also down to attitude. And you have the Halstead Manifesto. You yeah. kind of swear by this a little bit. So tell us a bit about the... I hadn't heard of it until you mentioned it.
Oh, well, it was really great. I'll sort of come on to that. There were four things, actually. There's a ton of things in my life. But you know when something just knocks you through the through the eyeballs and you think, oh my God, this is amazing. And probably the first thing that happened to me, because it all links into this Halstead thing, was I was quite well-travelled as a sort of young woman. I was about 28 and I went to Africa for the first time. And it totally and utterly blew my mind. Mm. My life was not the same since, because I thought, oh my gosh, there is a world out there that I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. And there's me thinking I'm well-travelled, and I've travelled all over. And I was well-travelled for the time. I'd travelled around Western Europe, I'd been to the States, and I just thought, this is just mind-blowing. Mm. And I thought, there but for an accident of birth, go I. And that's when I really realised how men and women could be treated differently. Mm. So that's then started. I've been a passionate traveller ever since. Passionate, passionate, passionate. So that was really important. The second thing, I think, was having my daughter, because I think when you become a parent, you suddenly think, you're not having a baby, you're raising an adult who contributes to society. Mm. So what the hell are you doing? You know, what? And probably the thing that upsets me more than anything else in the entire universe is unconscious poor parenting. Mm. People who don't think, quick bonk, there's a baby and whatever. Mm. Or people who dump the kids and let somebody else raise them or whatever. It drives me nuts. It's such an important role, you know, to sort of be very...
It's the biggest job
huge.
Everybody, women have,
it's
if
huge.
They have kids, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we need to raise our girls to be braver and our guys to be different, you know, our boys
softer.
To be softer and more humanitarian and gentler, and you know, and then the world is better. And if you look at what's happening in the world at the moment, it's crazy. Mm. It's the opposite of collaboration. We women need to take over, I tell you, we really do. Because the
if
world
women
would
ruled
be
the world...
It would be
different.
Place. Yeah, but so that was Africa, having my daughter. And then when I was trained as a coach, as a business school, I suddenly thought, wow, this is really about creating a safe space for people. And I realised that most people don't have a safe space.
Mm. They're not privileged, depending on some places where they're from, where they're born.
But even, I mean, I coach a lot of people.
An experience. It could be...
Bit of anything, lots of factors.
What triggers trauma... can be sometimes what you don't expect.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be, you know, a massive shift or clamour. Mm. It can be something really tiny, really small.
It knocks you. Yeah.
Or little tiny things over a period of time and it builds
they
up
build.
And builds up. Yeah. But that whole thing, that safe space, I mean, even when I'm coaching people now, and men in particular, and I'm talking senior guys here, country managers for major multinationals who are being groomed for next level job. They say how lonely it is because they've got no one to talk to. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel quite safe to say that they feel vulnerable or, actually, I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. So they're back to imposter syndrome.
Their expectations of themselves is actually worse than other people's expectations
absolutely.
For them.
Yeah. And we just need to be kinder. We need to create this space and help people feel safe. So I love that. And so then I discovered this, the Halstead Manifesto. You know, again, sometimes it's, got it here actually. And I've got it as a big poster up at home.
Up on the wall. Look at it, read it.
Yeah, I've given it to every single one of what I call my young gang.
Well, I've got it now as well. So
I know.
Share it
yeah, it's my niece's.
I have a Facebook picture.
Do you have
this?
I'll just say it really quickly. It's all beautifully done. You know, it's a massive big thing like this. I've given it to every single one of my young gang, my daughter, my nieces, my nephews, my godchildren, kids. I mean, literally, must have given out about 100. This is your life. Do what you love and do it often. Great. If you don't like something, change it.
Yeah.
Love that. Mm. If you don't like your job, quit. Love that one. If you don't have enough time, stop watching TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. If you're looking for the love of your life, stop. They'll be waiting for you when you start doing things you love.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's really cool, isn't it? Stop overanalyzing. Life's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true.
We make it complicated.
We make it so complicated. Yeah. You know, it's nuts.
Relax.
Yeah, all emotions are beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And our emotions tell us things.
People are afraid of living, of experiencing emotions.
Yeah, no matter what they are, they're learning.
Or seen as weakness, or you know, whatever. Whereas it's nuts. When you eat, appreciate every last bite. I like that one. And then this is probably my favourite. Open your mind, arms and heart to new things and people. We're united in our differences. Mm-hmm. I really like that. And so ask the next person you see what their passion is, you know, and share your inspiring dream with them. And then suddenly your conversations are at a totally different level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just superficial stuff. Mm-hmm. And then travel often, getting lost will help you find yourself. Some opportunities only come once, seize them. Mm-hmm. That's important too. And life's about the people you meet, the things you create with them. So go out and start creating. Life's short, live your dream and share your passion. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. And so that's all over the place, and I feel as though I live that. Life is short.
Mm-hmm. You've got to think about it as well. We get so tied up in day-to-day things. We kind of lose it, and it's kind of just start your day, read it, think, and get out there and do it,
That's why I love travel, because if you're up a mountain, like I was up in the mountains of Ras El Khaimah yesterday, and you realise you're so small.
Yeah.
And all these things you worry about, you're thinking, really? Mm-hmm.
You're on top of a mountain and you look around the world and you're just like, it puts in things into perspective sometimes.
It totally puts in perspective, So it's really cool. So that's a lot of my philosophy and where I come from.
Okay,
so.
Well, I'm going to take up on that. I'm going to get that notice board made for the office.
It's cool.
Everybody can enjoy it, but thank you for that. And Zara, going back to the food industry, like real estate, hugely competitive, I'm sure, what you've done. How do you stay authentic in such competitive?
I have to say... I'm very blessed not to see it as a competitive space. Mm. I had a chat. I'm one of the few original bloggers that there were a handful of us, and we started off and we set the tone of the space, and we created opportunities where we didn't even think what there was, and it's just grown.
Was that like a collaboration you did with people, or
no, everyone just
you all did your own
everyone
thing?
Everyone did it independently, and there was one girl named Arva who just created a Facebook page, and all of a sudden was just reaching out. She's like, oh, come and join this group. Oh, and then all of a sudden we were like, oh, we're all together doing this whole journey. And then all of a sudden Instagram started getting active, and Facebook started, like, I was on Facebook and on a proper blog, and that's what everyone else had. But then it just evolved, and then all of a sudden companies wanted to start working with you. You're like, what? And we were like, we can charge for our service? Okay, I can make money.
This is getting better.
Yeah,
this is
cool.
Amazing. And now I can charge even more. Actually, I remember one client, they said, how much do you charge? I gave them a rate. They paid me double.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Because they thought you didn't charge enough.
Yeah, they really didn't. They really didn't think I charged enough. And she said, no, actually, your value is this, and we're going to give you. And it opened this whole conversation of self-worth. And defining, you know, my blogging space, or my food space, has been more than food. It's been a space where I've evolved and developed and grown so much. And but one advice that I remember I had, or a conversation I had with one of my other fellow bloggers, she said, Zahra, we will grow. And we all have our own slice. Mm. So don't worry about
it. Make it different, yeah.
But also remember that you need to make space for the next person that's going to start, that's going to do their journey. So as I'm developing, I've got different opportunities, but I'm not going to go and be very protective of what was a previous space. I'm giving that space to the next person who's, you know, on that. Mm. On that.
It's change, it's development, and the world keeps moving.
It's energy, it's a flow.
Yeah.
It's a flow, it's good.
Yeah. So I'm very big into collaboration, and I love supporting women, and I like seeing people thrive, men and women. And I want to talk about men and women, because we were in Egypt, we were doing something about gender equality, and there was a very simple test that we did where we had a purely boys team, a purely girls team, and a mixed team. The purely boys team failed, the purely girls team failed, and the mixed team worked. Mm. And for me, I always say, I'm a mother of three boys. I've got an awesome husband. I am where I am because of him. He is where he is because of me. Mm. And together, we're working together to build a nice space for our children. But it's because we're both involved.
And when it's equal like that, that's when it works. Yes. And that's when it works brilliantly.
Yeah. 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 When there's good balance and like-mindedness and same goals. Yeah.
It's an equal respect where I need you and you and it's not you need me, but both believe I need you. So it helps.
You see the value in other people. So it's good to plug the boys on our Celebrating Women's podcast.
So important.
Absolutely, why not? So thank you for bringing them in. We've already talked about Dubai being, you know, giving us a lot of opportunities, being that mixing pot, not holding us back in any way. And Dubai, particularly for real estate, they have a lot of government initiatives. So 28 years here, Trish, what about applying, or will you be granted that golden visa?
No, and that's not what I don't see myself as being resident here. I see myself as a global nomad, and I see myself straddling. Yeah. And if I'll end up back in UK, because that's in England, because that's where. But no, I don't, it's not something I'd want. But I think it's healthy that it's a lot of people would want that. For me personally, no, I'd like.
I never thought they would do it. You know, when
I never thought
they'd
do
Dubai,
it.
And it just shows again that progression in the country, in the city. So
totally.
And how do you manage everything with your three young boys? I know you have a grown-up daughter now, which looks after herself, but I know three young boys. How do you balance it all? You know,
there's no shame in asking for help. I'm not going to do it all. And yes, I will ask for support. I will build a support system around me. And I can't do it all on my own. But for me, it's more about quality over quantity. So when I'm doing something, and it's something I'm learning, it's not something that I've excelled in.
Constantly trying to balance it all, as you say.
There's this amazing book that I recently read. It's called The Four Agreements. The first agreement is to be impeccable with your words. The second one is not to take things personally. Number three is not to make assumptions. And number four is to try your best, because your best will be different on every single day. And so when I don't hold high, like I have intentions, but you know, some days are going to be easier than others, and it's okay. Like some days, like, you know, there's so many roadblocks, and you know what I do? I say it's a roadblock day, I'm just going to let it be, I'm going to step back, and then all of a sudden it all flows through. But when I'm fighting against the roadblock, nothing is going to work out.
Yeah, definitely echo what Zara says there in terms of actually needing support, because so many people have said over the years, I don't know how you do it all. And the answer is that I didn't do it all. And I chose what to do. And I've always focused on the things that only I could do. And I've always had an amazing housekeeper come driver. I mean, sensational. And I've always had a great PA who I've thought of as my blood pressure lowerer. I mean, just fantastic. I mean, really good. And I think you need that if you're trying to balance and juggle, because balance a child or children. I didn't have the husband, it made it a bit less complicated. But, you know, trying to juggle everything and you're in the middle of it all. And I think women are usually the anchors for a family. So we enable everything to happen. So we enable everyone else. And I think it's really important to have support. So I've always figured, right, I can clean. I'm quite a good cleaner of kitchen floors, but I'm a very expensive cleaner of kitchen floors, when I could actually be using that hour to do something and earning some serious money. So I've always been very clear what I do and what I don't do. And I love my backup team.
I think, like you said, it's great to have a support structure around you. And I know there's certain support structure, both personally and professionally, I have. But you have to ask for it.
You do.
I think people hold things and don't, and then they get themselves into more issues, more roadblocks.
And lots of women can think they've got to do it all. So they don't ask and then go into victim mode. Poor me, why isn't anyone helping? Instead of saying, actually, it isn't just, I'm not looking for help. If you've got a husband, you're co-parenting or you're co-doing a house, you know.
So it's about together.
It's about getting clear and doing it together.
And I find that, me included, a lot of women, once we start having a growing families, a growing career, growing responsibilities, a lot of us suffer from anxiety. And I've another part of this whole self-awareness journey is I think that anxiety is because we've met our limit of how much energy there is inside, and so we're like this, like a pot that's like ready to explode some energy. And when you start to reduce your anxiety is when you start making space for new things. And so we have a lot of accumulated
stuff.
Yeah. Bad things in the pot stuff. We need to clear out.
And you're going to laugh. Sometimes it's as simple as cleaning your closet and giving away clothes that you no longer wear, decluttering your house, cleansing space. Mm.
Spring cleaning of every area.
And I'm making a point of doing something called an energy audit, where I spring clean my space and I let go of things. And I realize, you know what, this makes me stressed out, I'm going to reduce doing it. This makes me feel really amazing, I'm going to do it. And you know, I was taught by someone that I you know, who's been guiding me through this whole journey, is you do this every 6 months. So now I spring clean, I clean the garage, and I declutter my space.
Mm. Actually, funny you should say that. That's where I start when I'm coaching people, because I'm a business coach.
Yeah.
But you cannot possibly be effective at your job if your home life is falling apart, if you're everything's a mess, your relationships are terrible, you don't get on with your kids. So I start with a self-care and energy audit.
Yeah. Mm.
And we go through and literally get the basics.
There's so much clarity after that.
So it's much clarity. Related. It's all about getting clarity.
Yeah.
Life is not complicated. Yeah. We don't need to make it complicated.
Yeah. And it's funny, every time you say things, everybody will be going, yeah, I get that.
I know.
But we just sometimes need to refocus, regroup, and actually set
and a
plans.
Lot of the things
it's time
that,
out to think.
But a lot of things, like I've been taught or that you teach, people know, but we just forgot about.
Yeah.
We get busy.
Yeah.
And the single thing I hear most from people, men and women at the moment, is just total overwhelm.
Yeah.
And there's just too much of everything. And it's about cut through the clutter and decide what you want and then do the things that get you where you want. Mm-hmm. So
when we talk about women, do you actually have any female role models out there? I mean, I know you're going to say your friends, your sisters, but maybe a bit more on the sort of celebrity side. Is there anybody out there that you would particularly feel?
Mine is cliche.
What's that? Which one?
I know it's going to be cliche, but I adore her. Oprah.
I know you were going to say that.
I know it's so cliche.
I say Oprah, yeah.
I know it's so cliche, and I wish I wasn't so cliche. But what I love about her is she's always interested to learn, and she teaches in her journey and inspires you to want to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, I just read this amazing book she co-wrote with, I want to call him a psychologist or therapist or something. It's about trauma, and it was interesting because when you think of trauma, you think of really bad things. But trauma, you realize, can be something so silly and so small, but it has an impact on you. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I've been traumatized, but I didn't realize I was traumatized, and I denied myself that feeling that I had something bad happen to me, although it's not the typical, like, really bad thing, but something
impacted.
That impacted me. Mm. So I didn't allow myself to heal it because I denied myself that feeling that sucked.
Mm.
Yeah. So flow through it. Mm.
I think we all need a bit of therapy, every single one of us. Yeah. Every so often, certain times of your life, a little bit of therapy can give you clarity and help you understand things that are blocking.
Yeah.
I think we're never going to have perfect lives, and we shouldn't want a perfect, easy life. We should just have the strength to actually get through the trauma or the bad times and just get through it.
But also, don't see one of my favorite words. So this is a book club we do, and that was the book we read.
Yeah.
You know how you have, what is it called? PTSD?
Mm-hmm. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Calls it PTSW or it's post-traumatic PTW, post-traumatic wisdom.
That's nice.
It's a good spin on
it. I like that. I really like that.
You know, don't see it as a negative. Not that I'm trying to throw down toxic positivity down anyone's throat, but you had an experience.
Mm.
You know more than someone who didn't have it.
Mm.
You have a wisdom that can help someone else. Mm. You see it that way.
That's a good...
It
good
is.
Thing.
I like that.
I'll
nick that.
We're all pinching ideas.
my role models, they're not so much famous people. I've got my mum and her two sisters were amazing. her younger sister is still alive. She's 96 next week.
Oh, wow.
She still leads a walking group once a week in Liverpool. She walks about, she says, I only do half the walk these days. She only does 5 miles, okay? Oh. And, you know, whenever I go back, she says, oh, you know, you'll have to go slow if you're going to walk with me. Well, do I help? You know, she's great. But the thing about them, you said before, they're interested. If they were here, my mum and her two sisters, if they were still alive and here, they'd have got the life stories of these three guys. They'd have got the life stories of you two. They're so interested in other people. It makes them interesting. Yeah. They you know, one died, the eldest one died when she was 99 and 7 months. Fit until the last 3 months, and then she was a pain in the ass. And you know, but amazing. Designer clothes, real workhorse. I took it, she came to Dubai when she was 97, and the three of them came on a little visit, which was great. We went into Souk Madinat, and there was a place selling these evening chiffony things. Now, my 97-year-old aunt said, I love these. You'd wear them over like a strappy top and then evening trousers. She said, I'm going to get two. I'll get so much wear out of them. And we said, Flo, you're 97. And but do you know what? She did.
She did, yeah.
And you see, I love that. Yeah. And so I love that. Live life to the last second.
Don't let anybody tell you.
But just be interested. Yeah. I love it when people tell me I can't do something. I just smile and look at them and think, watch me.
I'll show you. So what advice, what would be, I mean, you'll have loads of advice, I know you would, but if you had to pick something really fundamentally, one thing that you would want to pass down to your daughter, to your friends, to people out there, what would it be?
You're definitely more powerful and stronger than you know. Definitely.
Yeah.
And you can absolutely
underestimate yourself, just... Yeah. Get out there and do it, yeah.
Definitely.
Good.
Yeah.
Just be kind to yourself.
You always say when you tell yourself bad things, you would never do that to your best friend or to your, you know, daughter or your family. So why do you do it to yourself? But be kind to yourself.
And
I like that.
There's another
too.
One that. One
go more. For I it, you have promise, all the time. For it.
Just say arigato.
What's that?
Arigato.
Arigato.
It's something that I heard. You know, in one of these podcasts, arigato. Arigato to money coming in, arigato to money going out, because you're helping someone else, you're helping someone. Arigato for everything. Arigato. Arigato for my kid, even when my kid.
So you make it suit lots of situations.
Yeah. So, you know, everything that happens, arigato, thank you. There's something that comes, there's a lesson that I will not know at that moment.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just let it be. Arigato.
It'll come back around.
And you'll understand it.
I like that.
Thank you, ladies, so much. Found that really interesting and really enjoyed it. And hope
it
you did
so
too.
Really enjoyed it. It's great to meet you. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm going to buy your products in Spinneys now.
It's nice. I did order it. I think it was from Zomato once as well. Yeah, I ordered your beetroot kebab for the vegetarian. Yeah, so thank you for the vegetarian
that
range
as well.
That was
the Cloud Kitchen. It's no longer live, but this next up.
Next out there will be out there. You're going to have vegetarian?
There's vegetarian. There are a couple, okay. But I'm working on building. So the first series of products are very Ramadan oriented, but then the next products that we're developing are going to be more...
which is apt for Ramadan.
Do you know Sally Prosser?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was one of the...
I assume so. She'd be one of the food bloggers. Yeah. She's a good friend. Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah.
All come together. Yeah. Thank you again, ladies.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for tuning in to Property Talk from Louise's Lounge. Hope you've enjoyed today's chat. And like always, please keep coming your suggestions to what we'd like us to discuss and your feedback or comments. And hope to tune in again soon. Thank you.